Knife Talk is sponsored by Evenheat, the manufacturer of the finest knife heat treat ovens available. Find your next heat treat oven at evenheat-kiln.com. So welcome to Knife Talk. Now today I'm having a chat with Bob from Bob Rankin Custom Knives. Hey Bob, how are you?
I'm fantastic. How about yourself?
I'm a bit cold, but I'm very good. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Bob.
Well, I decided in April to start making knives, and I've been a welder my whole life, so it's kind of a natural step to work with metal.
Yeah. So why knives? Why from welding? Why then pick knives?
Well, I started with Damascus, looked at it as another type of welding, you know, and it just kind of snowballed from there. I guess Forged and Fire and YouTube finally made it possible.
Yes, yeah, and there is so much out there, isn't there? Yeah.
Yeah, there is. I couldn't have done it before. I don't know any other knife makers.
Right. Okay. So describe your sort of style. Do you have a specific style of knife that you like to make?
Not yet. I hunting knives and kitchen knives are pretty much all I've done. I haven't made a ton of them yet.
Yes, yeah. And do you sell them? Do you have customers?
Yes, I do. So it goes pretty much on what they want. That's what I make.
Great. I'm finding that a bit of a drag at the moment, actually. So it's a case of, I like to make a knife and put it up on the website to sell, because it's a knife that I've sort of designed, and it's all my own choices in there, you know? But unfortunately, which, you know, I suppose is a good problem to have, I'm having a lot of commissions. But I just find, I don't know, I don't enjoy them. I really don't. I see them as work.
I kind of enjoy having that conversation with the customer, though.
Yeah.
And finding what they want, because most of the time it's just because of the Damascus is why they want a custom knife. So I had one customer who had a deer he shot, and I used an antler off each side for two knives for him, one for each of his sons. So stories like that are what I really enjoy, something that I know people are going to cherish for their lifetime.
Yeah, very personal. Yes, yeah. So like, most people come into knife making from starting with stock removal. Like myself, I still just do stock removal. But you've just gone straight in and forging with your sort of welding background.
Yes. Yeah, well, I enjoyed building my equipment, you know, and that was part of the challenge. I hammered one out by hand and decided I needed to make more stuff.
Yeah. And you've been very kind to send me some Damascus too, which I can't wait to make a knife with. I think I've said on the show in the past that I'm not the biggest fan of Damascus, but I'm pretty sure this may change my mind.
Well, I like making the steel almost as much as I like making the knives, and to see what somebody else can do with my steel, I think would be really neat to do.
Cool. Yeah, well, I shall certainly keep you posted. I'm sure it'll be all over Instagram once I start making it. So tell us about someone like myself who hasn't really done any forging, nothing with regards to knife making anyway. What would be the minimum amount of equipment required to start forging my own steel for the blades?
Well, I guess it depends on how determined you are. You know, you've probably seen the videos where they do Damascus with wire and a forge and hammer it together.
Yes.
Myself,
yeah.
I just needed a $150 welder off Amazon. I built my forge and burners. And like I said, the first one I made hammering it by hand, and I got to all I think of 20 layers on that one. And I thought something's got to change. So now I built a 24-ton forging press.
Right. Okay. Also. Wow. Okay.
So, and then all the other knife making stuff that you have, other than that, you know, you have all that stuff.
Grinders, that kind of thing. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So tell us about that very first knife that you made.
That's my favorite one to date. I still use it in my shop all the time. And I went through a lot of propane and a lot of trial and error, but I got it to stick. And, you know, it's kind of ugly, but still my favorite.
So how many are you making sort of average on a week now then?
Oh, it's more like a couple a month maybe, I think. I work a lot, so it depends on how much time I have. And it depends on the orders I have coming in and stuff like that.
Yes.
I just finished one today. That was nice to finally finish something.
I did see on Instagram, actually. Yes. Very nice. Very nice.
That was my first repeat customer also. He ordered that for his dad for Christmas.
Oh, great stuff. Great. So talking about Damascus again, because as I say, all your knives are Damascus. We've talked about the equipment that, you know, someone like myself would need to maybe start forging my own steel. But what advice would you have? for someone like me who would be basically new to blacksmithing?
Well, be patient and watch lots of YouTube videos. I mean, obviously, Alex Steele, his take on Damascus, I think I started watching him about the same time I got into it, and he was under 100,000 subscribers. So I think the desire to see that type of material really drove me.
Yes, yeah. I think he's just on a 500,000 layer katana as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he's already up to over 500,000 subscribers. You know, with, between his personality and the quality of work he does, he's very entertaining to watch and to learn from.
He is. I just love the comments, reading the comments there. Because it was like, can you make a Damascus wardrobe? You know, it's everything is, right. Can you make a Damascus whatever?
Well, and I guess that's the thing. I mean, if you can make it out of steel, you can make it out of Damascus, right?
Yeah, exactly. So tell us about your setup. Do you work from home, or do you have a garage, or a special shop that you work from?
Well, my very patient wife put up with me. I'm set up in our garage where I can pull everything out as I need it and put it back and still use it to park the cars in the winter. But, yeah, I have everything on wheels so I can get it to where I need it other than my press. And it's worked out very well so far.
And that's got to be pretty big, that press, yeah.
Well, actually, it's fairly compact. I was very happy with how that one turned out.
So I see, you know, on things like Forged in Fire, they're either going for a big, big sort of power hammer or a press. As a beginner, what would you recommend?
A press.
Really? Right. Okay.
Yeah. For one, you can build one. They're a lot cheaper, they're a lot quieter for neighborhoods, and they're probably a little safer for somebody that's never been around something like that. I was fortunate enough to go check out one of our service centers has a power hammer, and I haven't got to work with it yet, but I got to see it and see how it works, and I think that you could get yourself in trouble pretty quick with one of those.
Very hot steel and a big, massive hammer. Yeah, it sounds dangerous to me. So tell us about some of the mistakes that you made maybe at the beginning on those first few knives that you've made.
I think the biggest thing was not getting my material hot enough and getting it to stick. You really have to get that billet hot to get it to stick. And then, of course, you know, the grinding mistakes that I hope everybody else has had, where the plunge lines are wrong or things like that.
Yeah, and I mean, those are the kind of things that just come with practice, aren't they? You know, you can just keep on grinding, and eventually it'll click one day.
Right. Now, I've been pretty fortunate. I haven't had to scrap too many, because you have a few hours, 3 or 4 or 5 hours into a billet already. That one hurts when you have to stop working on it and start over.
I can imagine. So that's a good point, actually, the time that it takes to forge your own billets. So let's say a typical chef knife, sort of maybe 30 centimeters, 12 inches long. How many hours would go into one of your knives?
It depends on how I do it. I've done both. I've forged by hand, and then I've also made a piece of stock like I sent you. And I have a lot more success with stock removal after I've forged that stock. I'm not a blacksmith yet. I still have a long way to go, but I imagine 15 or 20 hours.
Nice. Okay. So the skills that you've now acquired then, so you're making your own billets and so on, is that linked in any way to your normal day job? Do you have a job where you're working with your hands, or is it just something to take you away from your day job?
Well, I think that it started as I'm not much of an artist, but I always wanted to have an artistic outlet, and something about knives just agreed with me. I can draw them. I can make that a reality in steel, and I think that I being a welder, a boiler maker, and a power plant, that carried over into not being afraid of hot steel. And being able to know how to see cracks and to grind and things like that.
Yes, yeah. You just mentioned about drawing the knives. With regards to sort of the design, you may have meant drawing the steel, but I mean, I'm talking about drawing as in design. Do you generally sort of have an idea where you're going to go with a knife, or do you just let the steel decide?
Both. It depends on what I'm doing. If I have an order for something specific, I typically do like a stock removal and draw it on paper ahead of time to get an idea of proportions, to make sure the handle's the right size, things like that. But if I'm going to forge one, obviously at that point, steel does what it wants to do.
I mean, I only asked that question because I was just looking this week at Jeff Fader's Instagram, and he does these amazing drawings of his knives. I think they're watercolors, actually, of the knives, which he then sends along with the knife to the customer. And they're fantastic. So it's a really nice sort of artifact to have along with the knife, you know?
Them are the skills that I wish that I had. I wish I had that artistic ability to be able to really draw and to just to be able to do that would be amazing.
Yes, yeah. So let's talk about your process a little bit. Do you generally make a billet, then go right through to make a knife, or do you make a series of billets, then do you sort of shape a bunch of knives, then finish a bunch of knives? How do you normally work?
Well, I'm still developing all my processes as I go. Typically, I like to work on one knife at a time from start to finish. Now, I have gotten to the point now where I think making stock ahead of time will probably be the way I go. But I made that pair of knives, and that was brutal time trying to make two of the same knife. You know, that. I don't have the skills for that yet.
Yes, yeah. I've just actually finished a set of chef knives for a customer. And what I did there was really simple, really. Sort of drew out on tape on the steel the shape that I wanted on one blade. I then just hot glued two billets together. So when I'm doing my shaping out on the grinder, they're both being shaped to exactly the same size. And you can literally just prise them apart then. You know,
oh, that's a good idea.
So you know they're going to be, the dimensions are going to be exactly the same with each knife.
Right.
So yeah, that did work. But yeah, if you're trying to do more than two or three, I'd imagine that could be difficult.
Well, I did two with antler handle hidden tangs that I wanted to have the blade basically the same shape, and that was tough. But I got through it.
Mm-hmm. And how do you find working with antler? I've tried bone in the past, and I just found it very sort of porous, and it split very easily. How does antler feel?
Well, I'd stabilize it all with cactus juice first. So that's another skill that you have to learn to. I want them to have a quality product when I'm done, and I want it to look like it was made in a garage.
Yeah. So if you're stabilizing it, do you still get that horrible sort of burnt hair smell when you're grinding it?
I haven't really noticed it too bad, no.
Right, okay, cool. So you mentioned that you don't really know any knife makers in your area.
No.
So everything you've learned has been via, as you say, YouTube and seeing what other people are doing. Who are the people that you're learning from? Who are the people that you're sort of regularly tuning into?
Well, that was one of the reasons I was excited to come on your show here. basically, everybody you've had, you know, Alex Steele, Walter Sorrells, Jeremy from Simple Little Life, you know, Liam Hoffman.
I did see that your knife was on Jeremy's Viewers' Knives this week, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And, you know, he's really has a lot of that. I'm glad to see how popular that is for him. I think that was the first couple knives I made.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
And then, of course, Mike from Ecom Knives, I think his video is, I really like the way he grinds the chef knives with no plunge lines, and that made it possible for me to make some of those.
Yeah. He did a great tutorial on that, actually, didn't he, on YouTube?
Oh, he did.
A couple of years ago. And that's why I do my knives that way, simply from his tutorial, which is great. So can you tell us about, I always wonder about the heat treat, how accurate you can be with a heat treat if you're just using your forge. I assume when you're using your forge for the heat treat, you don't have an oven.
No, I, this is going to make you really jealous, but, I have an even heat.
Oh, you do too. And okay.
I was able to, go pick it up. They live about, their shop is about 2 hours north of me.
Now so. I'm jealous. I had to wait. Well, mine was stuck in customs for over a month, just in customs for a month. You know, it was, yeah. Yeah,
I was chuckling at the one interview you were talking about getting one, and I had just picked mine up, and I was like, I wish I could call him and tell him that I just got to go drive up along the Lake Huron and pick mine up. So.
Very nice. They're great guys there as well. Really great guys.
They sure are.
Yeah. But it's just that I see a lot of knife makers who sort of forge their own steel, And you know, you see it on the likes of Forged in Fire and so on, where they're just judging the heat before they quench. So I'm assuming that's based on the color of the steel, and you just get to know your forge over time.
Well, yeah, it's the color of the steel, just past magnetic, right? Just past critical. I was successful with that a few times, and not having a Rockwell tester, you can only guess by recipes online. That's the part that worried me, is not having that type of control.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't yet have a Rockwell tester. I'm just about to order one. But there's a place just sort of 20 minutes down the road from here, which I can go and take batches and check. But I'm really interested in being able to check and just make very small tweaks just to see what difference that makes, you know?
I think a lot of that comes from probably the temper.
Yes, possibly, yes, yeah, yeah. I did build a little temper oven as well, with a little sort of temperature control unit on it as well. But yeah, I'm just really interested in just those little tweaks just to get those extra bit of hardness out, you know?
Well, I think that's where you go from nice to excellent. And I think that to justify a price of a custom knife, you have to be excellent.
Yes, yeah. Do you follow Jack Law Knives on YouTube?
No, I don't.
A guy called Sandy, so he does these very sort of standard-looking bushcraft knives, beautiful things. But he's incredibly geeky about heat treat and so on. So that's definitely one to watch. So Jack Law, JAKLORE, Jack Law Knives.
I'll look that up.
Yeah, and he's a great guy. He does great videos, and he's been making knives for years. And really, really cool guy.
That's one thing nice about the internet. Every time you think you're getting good at something, all I have to go on Instagram and instantly get humbled.
Exactly, <you know? laughs> exactly. Yeah, but it's such a great community, because I mean, I don't think you see plumbers getting together and telling each other about their latest sort of wrench techniques. You know,
No, it
doesn't happen. They keep their secrets to themselves.
But everything is so supportive, and you know, it's exciting when somebody follows you and you follow them back, and somebody's actually interested in what you're doing.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, it's great. I love it. And, you know, the community being so welcoming to me, because, you know, up until about 2 years ago, I was sort of making knives on my own, didn't really realize there was a community out there. But, yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, I think it's great how much you do for the community to give back, you know. And it's nice to – because during your interviews, you get to hear that pretty much everybody started the same way in their garage – with the bare amount of tools.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, even talking to, you know, some of the knife makers that have been making for, you know, 10, 20 years, they had to start somewhere.
Right.
But yeah, it's just so nice that they're sharing their, you know, what they do and so on. So let's talk about your steels of choice. What are you generally using to make your knives with?
I make my Damascus out of 1084 and 15N20.
Right.
So it's a blend of those. I have aspirations of, I think it's 410 stainless I have, and I want to make 52-100, now I'm stuck. I can't remember the name of it. Sanmai.
I'd like to try
Sanmai. That'll be a challenge, and I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm starting to see sort of commercial stainless Damascus now as well, I've seen. I'm trying to think of the name of that. I'll put it in the show notes. I've seen it being sold occasionally. Just very, very expensive.
I've seen some on like Alpha Knife Supply and stuff sells a lot of that custom stuff like that.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So when you're not in work and you're not forging away, what you generally like to do to relax away from the forge?
Sleep. I work, you know, usually around 50, 60 hours a week. So by the time I get everything done around the house, and I kind of go out in the shop to relax.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of people do for that reason as well. They don't see it as work. It's just simply, you know, a way to switch off and to use your hands.
Well, I found that if it starts feeling like work, that's when I have to take a break, because you make mistakes, you get in a hurry, and...
Yeah, which is pretty much what has happened to me the last sort of 2 weeks. I think I've spent 2 days in the shop. And I think it's just a combination of, as I say, having a lot of orders come in that I can't really be too creative with, you know?
Right. So
it's just sort of grinding through them and banging them out. And I just don't feel that connected to the knives. So I've taken probably about 10, 12 days out of the shop. I went back in yesterday, and yeah, it all feels new again. So it's great. I just feel really sort of invigorated again, you know?
Right. Sometimes you have to do that. You have to step away, and things go faster and better when you want to do it.
Yeah, I agree. So what are you finding challenging, if anything, in knife making?
Well, I think the most challenging thing is finding time. But for me, is grinding the bevels, you know, getting the plunge lines and the bevels the way I want them to be. You know, I can get them to a point where most people wouldn't notice, but I see every mistake myself.
Yes, yeah. Are you using jigs or is it completely freehand?
I've tried jigs. I haven't had really good success. I've actually had better luck freehand.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much the same with me. So, you know, learned freehand. Tried a jig, and at first I thought, this is fantastic. Why isn't anybody using jigs? But you soon learn that it's got its restrictions, you know, and it just doesn't feel as sort of free.
Right.
So what's next? So you're making knives a couple of months, and you're managing to sell them. Do you have plans for this to be a full-time job, or is it always going to be a hobby? What's the plan?
I think that it'll probably stay a hobby. I would like for it to replace some of the overtime I work. That'd be all right. And I just want to enjoy it. I like having a hobby that can kind of sustain itself and finance itself and grow.
Yeah, yeah. Really finances itself? You don't have a big shopping list of equipment that you want like everybody else?
Like I said, my wife has been so patient this year. eventually, I'd like to have a dedicated shop where I wouldn't have to roll everything out. And obviously, a power hammer would be amazing.
Yes, yeah.
Rockwell tester, stuff like that. But as far as what I need right now, I'm actually pretty good shape right now.
Cool. Okay. So what's your sharpening routine once you've finished your knife?
I use the Wicked Edge sharpening system. I had seen a video from Jeremy from Simple Little Lives, and that made sense to me, so I went with that system.
That guy's a sharpening freak. I think he's got every system ever made for sharpening.
Right. And when he said that Wicked Edge is his favorite, why, well, you know, how do you argue with that?
Exactly. He's tried everything else, yeah. So you
use a Tormach, right?
Yes, so I use a Tormach for all of my sharpening. It's great because it works with, you know, sort of longer chef knives, and you get various jigs for different kinds of tools like axes and so on. Right. I just get really good results with them, and they're pretty much repeatable as well. So it's, yeah, it certainly makes sense to me. But to be honest with you, I haven't really tried anything else. I know Jeremy uses a paper wheel, doesn't he? Which, you know,
yeah.
I may try one day, but I'm just very happy with the Tormach. Let's talk about one of our sponsors, Tormach. To get great razor-sharp and repeatable edges, you're going to need a Tormach. To find out more, go to tormach.com, which is T-O-R-M-E-K.com. Okay, let's get back to the show.
It's hard to try something new when what you have is working for you.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, who knows? I may get, you know, better results or, you know, different results. I don't know. But, yeah, it works for me, so that's the way I'll stick for now.
There's something about... after spending that much time on a knife for myself to sit down with a Wicked Edge, that's just very relaxing.
I know what you mean. The sharpening process is, not much can go wrong. You can just sort of take your time. The bit that I hate, which I think I've spoken about before, is etching a logo or a maker's mark on the knife. Because if that goes wrong, you're right back to sort of sanding again.
I have a funny story about that. My cousin was getting married, and my wife had suggested I make her a knife for a wedding. So I made her – it's the only chef knife I made that was a full 8-inch chef knife. And I went all out with ebony handles and the copper pins and liners and all that. And so I had Buckeye Engraving make me a hot stamp. And I stamped hers upside down.
Oh, jeez.
And there's no way coming back from that, you know.
You could have sharpened the back edge and made it a dagger, maybe.
Oh, that was pretty – well, I typically do my hot stamp during my first normalizing cycle because it's already ground to the thickness I need. I don't have to worry about grinding it out or making it unnoticeable, you know, so – there was no going back.
Yep.
But I'm glad it was a gift, not for somebody who was paying for it, because I would have had to start over.
Who knows? One day it could be worth a lot more money. Who knows?
Well, there you go.
So let's talk about your – we've talked about your steel. I mean, do you have a favorite scale material now that you work with? You mentioned antler.
I never really intended to get into the antler. That was the first knife I sold. The customer had a shed that they wanted it made out of, so I had to learn how to use antler for the first knife I sold. I'm honestly enjoying natural hardwoods. I don't know if you follow Casting Kings on Instagram. He approached me about making him a knife. He makes like a the wood and alumilite resin hybrid scales.
Oh, right, yes. Some of them are beautiful. I don't actually follow him, so I will need to, because I've just got into doing that myself.
He was a great guy. He was my first Instagram customer, and he approached me. He wanted me to make a knife for him with the scales he made, so we worked out a deal, and I just got to see first customer feedback photo when he used my knife to cut up his turkey for Thanksgiving, so that was really neat.
very nice. So what's on your bench today? You've just mentioned that you finished a set of knives, what's the current project?
Well, I just finished a little hunter tonight or today for a repeat customer. I'm not sure where I'm going to go from here. I think I have one more antler knife that a person wanted. I have to make sure before I get started on that. If not, I'll just start making something for myself.
Yes, yeah. And I don't know whether I said this earlier, but I'm just wondering whether you generally try to keep it the same style, or each knife is completely unique in shape and, you know, and purpose.
I think that I tend to – you'll see a repeat in my style. I like the drop point for some reason. I like the way it looks, the lines on it, a little bit of belly in my handles. It just – what I tend to – see aesthetically pleasing. I did one chef knife for my wife that was a little bit more Japanese style. I like clean lines. Whatever I'm in the mood for, I guess.
Yes, yeah. Now, I'm just finding Japanese chef knives at the moment. I mean, they have been for years, but they're just so popular at the moment. So most of the commissions that I'm doing are Japanese chef knives, but personally, I prefer sort of a more of a classic sort of French or a Western style chef knife, you know? you know, that's the way things go. That's what people want, and it's not what I want to be doing, but, you know.
Right. Well, I made my wife that more of a Japanese style chef knife, and she actually wanted more of a Western chef knife, so I get to make her another one.
Oh, you know? Nice. That's a Christmas present sorted for you now. You can just make the knife and you're done. So I'm going to wrap up with the same final question that I ask everybody. And I think particularly for you, I think it's going to be nice to hear what your answer is. So with all the resources out there for knife makers, where do you find your inspiration and from whom?
Well, I find my inspiration on Instagram. You know, even if it's not my style that I do, like Nick Anger, you know, Jerry Fisk, those guys fit and finish. It's just unbelievable, you know. All those guys on Instagram that doesn't matter the style. I want to get to that level of fit and finish that a lot of these guys have. But, you know, and then all the other guys, S. Clark Blade Works and Cool Time Me and Kane Customs and DP Customs, Hatcher Knives, Their attention to detail is just something I can only strive for.
Yeah, yeah. You're right. There's just so much inspiration out there. So,
you know, I have so far to go. And that's one of the reasons I like making the steel stock. If somebody wants to steel stock, I'll make it for them just to see what they can do with that steel. Because not everybody will have the ability, the time to make Damascus, but seeing what they could do with it, I that sounds like fun.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, great. And as I say, I'm really looking forward to using the Damascus that you sent me. I'm sure it's gonna make a beautiful knife. Beautiful. So that's a great list you've given us. I'll put all of those in the show notes. And I think it's that time for me to just thank you for taking the time out. We've tried to schedule this call so many times, and we've finally managed to do it. And I know it's been a busy weekend for you because obviously it's Thanksgiving over in the States. So thank you so much for taking the time out, and hopefully we'll speak again soon.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to come on and let people know that you can do it.